for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, December the 23rd, 1995. First service of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Brother George Wingate, some of you don't know him, I don't believe, but he was here a few years ago, and then he was here 4th of July, and he lives down in Jacksonville, Florida. He's been a Floridaite ever since he was born.
Yes.
Coming up on the plane back from Dallas over here this afternoon, he met somebody that I want you to mention, and then I want us all to pray for him.
Okay. Warfare. Most Christians don't even know we're in a war.
Right.
We accept Jesus. He's our Savior. And we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we sing and we praise and we worship the Lord and have a good time. But we don't really know the depth of warfare that we're in. Most of us, as we begin to get a little spiritual maturity, even then, if we have a little problem or something come up, we always think it's us. Well, I've just got this problem. I've got that problem. Well, how can a dead person have a problem? We're supposed to be dead to self and alive to Christ. If we would forget about self when we think we have a problem, if we'd ignore that thing and just begin to pray and say, God, I don't know who's got the problem, but I thank you for the privilege of helping them bear that burden. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of love. But we've got to die to self in order to do that. We've got to come to that place of realizing, well, who am I? When I look at you people, I don't see you. You say, well, what do you mean? You're looking right at us. No, I don't see you. I only see the house that you live in.
Right.
You are a spirit being. You're made in God's image, isn't that right? Anything wrong with God? Well, if you're made in His image, there's nothing wrong with Him, then there's nothing wrong with you. But as long as this physical tabernacle has any control over us whatsoever, we're going to allow this thing up here to rule instead of the Word of God. Conquer your mind, and you've conquered the devil. But until you conquer your mind, then the devil still has a playground. Conquer your mind. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If it isn't any more than, well, praise God for Jesus. That's all you got to say. That's a testimony. Thank you, God, that I'm able to walk into this place tonight. Thank you, God, that I'm able to listen to this good singing and Bill playing that accordion then. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Warfare. The church must wake up to the reality that there's a war going on.
Yes.
Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give to you power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But then he went on to say something else. He said, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Power. The Holy Ghost power. I don't remember if it was Sister Coffee or Bill. It said something about asking. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, believe in it, shall be done. The word ask really means to demand. I demand you, devil, in Jesus' name. Get out. It's got to go. It has to go. Oh, they might argue with you sometimes. They might try to defy you. I had a spirit and a little lady out in California some years ago. It took 5 hours. This is my house. I'm not leaving. I own this person. She's mine. I don't guess any of y'all ever had that problem. I said, I don't care what you're saying. You're a straight out liar. And I know this house, this person, this tabernacle belongs to Jesus. He already bought and paid for it. So it's not yours anymore. The next thing the Spirit says, well, I don't have any place else to go. I said, too bad. I don't care where you go. Just go. warfare. But until we're willing to lay aside every preconceived idea, folks, until we're willing to take God at His word, until we're willing to do what the word says. In James 1:22, it says, "Be ye doers of the word and not just a hearer, deceiving yourself." So if we don't do the word when we read it, then we are deceiving ourselves. Well, who's behind the deception? We have five gates within that goes into our mind. By the power of God, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, we can shut those gates of hell and they won't prevail against us. If we put on the whole armor of God, not bits and pieces, but the whole armor of God, and stand on the integrity of the word, irregardless of what this thing says, whatever thought comes, we don't listen to this. We don't accept the thoughts that come to our mind as from us. Because remember, I said you are a spirit being. And you are to have authority and control over this thing right here. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no evil communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer." Well, who's the first person to hear what comes into your mind? You are. Whatever comes into your mind, it doesn't minister grace to you. Kick it out. Tell it to go. I got rid of a dozen demons standing right back there as Bill and all of us were singing and praising the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And say, "Well, how come?" Well, I've got five gates going into this mind. And I'm listening to conversation and I'm hearing this going on and this, that, and the other, and you know, and then things slip in very subtly, very cunningly, craftily. Because this flesh and blood body cannot inherit the kingdom of God to start with. So then something else can slip in and begin to inherit it or try to or whatever. But if I know who I am in Christ, if I know that I am not this flesh and blood body, that the real me is a spirit being and that I am joined to God, just joined to Him, that everywhere I go, God goes, and everywhere God goes, I go. What He said, isn't it? He'll never leave me or forsake me. Hallelujah. No wonder I can sing that little chorus. I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. Excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. When you're walking with the Lord, you never get bored. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. I don't care what my head says, I'm excited in the Lord. That's the me that you can't see. Doesn't make any difference. That's the reason people back in the days gone by could be burned at the stake and just laughing and having a hallelujah good time, praising and worshiping the Lord, and their bodies being burned right up. So what? You can't kill me. I've got eternal life. I struck up a conversation with a man today. That's enough of that. We'll get into some more later. His name was John Hughes. He is running as a Republican to be a judge. He's a Christian. And the Fort, yes. He is an elder at the McKinney Bible Church. He's on the board of Young Life of Fort Worth. All kind of other things here. But he asked us to pray for him. And I would just like for y'all, I'll pray and y'all agree with me. Would you do that? Now I'm putting you on the spot because you don't know what I'm going to pray. So that means you gotta act in faith, right? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if two of us would agree, and then, boy, all of us agree together, boy, that makes a pretty strong cord. Hallelujah. So let's pray.
We laid hands on him in the airport.
Yes. Let's see. 3, 5. About 20 of us here, I guess, all together.
Antonio.
Yeah. Hello, Tony. That's my buddy up there. Father, we need more men in offices that look to you as their guidance. We thank you for John Hughes, God, and what he is endeavoring to do. Now, Father, we stand on the integrity of your word. We reach out in faith and we bind every devilish force that would try to come against him in Jesus' name. according to the word of God, that whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And Father, we loose the ministering angels to just encamp about that whole area and encourage and nudge and speak in the ears of those that would go to the polls, Lord, and have them vote for John Hughes. Father, we ask that this man be elected to the 67th district judge, as the 67th district judge in the Fort Worth area.
Yes, Lord.
Now, Father, we're asking in faith, believing.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we expect to see this man in office because he's one of your men, God. And Lord, your word says the glory of God will cover the earth,
yes,
even as the waters cover the sea. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for John Hughes being elected the judge of the 67th District Court. We ask in faith, believing, and we expect to see the manifestation of your power, God. We expect to see and to hear about this man being the judge. We count it done in Jesus' name. According to your word, Jesus, you said, when we pray, believe that we receive those things we pray for, and we shall have them. So, Lord, we count it done. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
I tell you, the desire of my heart is to see is to have the anointing and of the Lord in the midst of us, and for his presence to be so that the blind will see and the deaf will hear and the lame will be straightened out and leap for joy.
Oh,
that the captives will be set free. We've seen, yes, amen, amen. We've seen lots of things, but I desire to see many, many times more. And I think that this coming year is going to be a year of decision for multitudes of people. They're going to have to get off the fence and either serve God or not. And I think we can see it in the government. A forerunner of it in the government. And I just believe that the Lord's going to do some great things this coming year. I desire to see the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
In our midst. We were visiting this afternoon at supper. And I'm a farm boy at supper. And we were talking about different things, and I'm surprised Mildred hasn't stuck her hand up here, but we were discussing some incidents of happenings of the past, and there have been quite some outstanding ones take place right here in here, and not give the devil any glory, give him a fits because he got conquered.
Amen.
But we've seen some. Since we've been here, there's been some outstanding deliverances here in this place. One was a professor from University of Arkansas up at, where is it up there by you, Stones's? What's the university up there? Huh? Fayetteville, is that it? Yeah. Came down here for deliverance. He was born in Columbia. His father was an American. His mother was a Colombian. And somehow he got saved up there and found out somebody told him. Anyway, he got saved and he was wanting to commit suicide. And somebody told him, I still don't know how he found out, that he needed to come down here, get prayed for. So he called up on Saturday and told Irma that she answered and told him that he needed help, and she said, well, we'll have service down here Saturday night. Get here. And she said, when are you coming? And he said, right now. Well, I don't know how he just barely. Did he get here in time for service that night, or was it Sunday morning? Anyway, can't remember. Anyway, he came, and when we started to pray for him, we found out that he had been dedicated to Satan by a witch doctor in Columbia. He'd had sinus problems and all of that all of his life. And the witch doctors down there had given him portions and things like that too. And his father was a medical doctor, but his mother was Columbian and trenched in all of this witchcraft stuff. But he'd gotten saved. And he was teaching mathematics. He was a mathematics teacher, professor. He was about 30 years old. And that particular time, we were using the fireplace over here, and we'd have a service over here around the fireplace and had it going. It was a chilly, cold night. It was in November. And he come on a motorcycle. And we started to pray for him. About four or five of us fellows got around him, started to pray for him. And he had come to this place in karate. What's the other name for it when you next thing pass, way past karate? Huh? Aikido, where they use their mind more than their physical. They use their mind to do their karate stuff with. And he was a... And so we started to pray for him, breaking these curses of witchcraft and all this from the south, from Colombia, South America, over him. And then we got down to this Aikido. And when we come, started praying for him for that, why, he... we was over there about from where that post is, but the post wasn't there then. It was before this steel building was here. And there was four or five of us around him, and all of a sudden he come up out of the chair wherever he was, and he knocked every one of us on the floor. He just, in one swipe, got us all, wham, on the floor. And we got down on top of him and started really coming against this thing. And when it come out of him, oh, about 15, 20 minutes, we prayed with him and dealt with the thing. When it come out of him, come out, and this back wall at that time was right here. It was right here. And this part wasn't here, but that is the wall that was here. That wall was right here. And it came through. It came out of him and came through the wall right about here. And it went, just sounded like a shotgun. When it went through the wall, and the whole building vibrated like an earthquake. The whole building just vibrated when that thing went through him. It went out of here. And we've never heard from him since, but he left here rejoicing. So
praise the Lord.
We did what the Lord had us do for him, and we trust that he's carrying on the same. We would like to hear from people once in a while when we pray for him. We're glad to hear the good results from the Stones' boy, and trust that he'll come down for camp meeting before the week's over. But what I started to say, maybe two or three of you have heard this before, but we went on a cruise to the Bahamas 1 year after we were here. Did you go with us, Joe and Millie? You didn't go? I guess there's nobody here. That when there was about 30, there were, I think there was 32 of us went on a cruise to the Bahamas. And we had a service every night. They gave us the disco room till 10 o'clock. We had service. We could have it all afternoon and all evening till 10 o'clock. So we had service in the disco room. We dedicated and cleansed that thing every night. But anyway, we pulled into one of the islands down there one morning. I can't remember the name of it now. And they took us all that wanted to go to the, what do you call it? Where you go shopping? Well, that's not what they call them. Huh?
Store
market. The market?
Yeah, store market.
Yeah, or to the marketplace. Store, whatever. Anyways, they loaded us up and took us into town to the market. And there was quite a large community there, but then there was one area that was about a block square that had little huts all around it, all the way in, and it was actually square. And in the middle was another little section with all around it. And there was about 20 of our group that was in this shopping area. And one of the girls got a little ahead of us, and she came over on the other side about two-thirds out to the end of the area. And there was a woman sitting there at her stall reading a Bible. And this girl walked up to her and said something to her, and she said, I don't know, in any way, something to let her know that she was a Christian. And she said, I've been waiting for somebody to come by. The Lord told me somebody's going to come by to pray for me today. Said, I've got a terrible headache, and I just can't hardly stand it. And she said, well, our group leader's coming, and some of our folks, we'll pray for you. And so I come along in a little bit, and somebody with me, and she told me, and I said, well, we'll wait a little bit till there's some more of them coming. We'll wait till they get over here. So when about four or five of them got over there, I walked around the back with two or three other folks, and we laid hands on her and started to pray for her. When we did, well, anyway, I'll tell you, she told us she was a pastor of a native church on this island. She was the pastor of the church. And so when we laid hands on her and started to pray for her, the demons started talking out of her. So we prayed for her for a little while and got her set free. And the time we got her set free, there was somebody else standing there. And they said, it was a native, and they said, pray for me too. So we started praying, and in about half an hour, we had a congregation around us of about, well, we had our own people, and then we had about 20 or 30 more that were natives. And we started praying for them, and this prayer meeting went on for at least 2 hours at least, or longer. By the time it was over, they had shut the entire market down. Everybody in the market had come over and was joined. We must have about 200 people here by the time it was over with. And they shut the entire market down, and even two delivery trucks come in, and the men got out of the delivery trucks and come over and wanted prayer. But what I'm getting at is this. There was one native woman there that wanted to be prayed for. Come up here, Brother Stone. You're not as big as her, but you're as tall as her. But you're not as big. And she was like this, and she was at least your height. Unusual for a native woman. And when we begin to pray for her, these devils begin to act up in her, and she begin to throw this way, and I got hammered up like that, and hung on, and for about 10 minutes, and she was throwing me, I was just throwing me all over the place like that, and I was just hanging on, and everybody around shouting and hollering, all these native people all around just praying the storm down for her. But I tell you, the devils was really coming out of her. They were screaming and hollering, and she was just carrying on, you know, all that witchcraft and stuff down in those islands down there. But it was very serious at the time, but when you look back at it, it was very comical. To think about it now, it was comical. But that woman really got set free. And we just had a glorious time praying there. It's nothing that you could have foreordained or thought about. God foreordained it. It was ordained of God. But it's nothing you could have set up and done in no way. Imagine all of them. And then besides all the movies, then there's all the tourists. You know, some of them off of our boat, most of them off of our boat, you know, tourists. And they're all on the outside edge out here standing around looking. The natives are in closer in there, but I guess we could have carried on longer. But after about 2 hours, and after this demonstration here with this woman, we called it quits and left. But it was really a wonderful, I've always thought, always have liked, wanted to go back to that island and see if the lady was still running the little store there that was the pastor of this native church. We took her name and address, I guess. I don't know if we've still got it, because I wouldn't know it if I saw it now. But we sent her the paper, started sending her a paper. I don't know if it still goes there or not. But anyway, she really got set free, and some of her congregation, and some maybe that wasn't her congregation.
Hallelujah.
So, but it was. But there's been there's three other things that come to mind that's happened here. One was how we come to understand about Lamaze, the spirit of Lamaze. That Irma searched, the Lord answered her for that. Lamaze is a name of a Russian scientist, and this Lamaze childbirth method is taken from his studies, and it's Eastern religion and hypnotism. But we had a girl that used to come here from Malvern. And they've moved away now, she could never get pregnant. She wanted to have a baby, and she couldn't. And then when she finally, we prayed for her and broke that curse off of her, she couldn't do anything. She couldn't even go to the grocery store to buy groceries unless she called her mother and asked her mother if it was all right if she went and what to do. and her mother had told her if she had a baby, it would be deformed. So she had told, her mother had instilled in her that she could never have sex relations with her husband. And this, and they'd been married 2 or 3 years, and this was just about to break up the household. And they were coming here, and we prayed for her 2 or 3 times, and then one time we really got serious praying for her, and she took on the form of a sphinx, sat cross-legged and folded her arms and just sat on the floor right here, just like a sphinx. Just, and she'd say, "My mother, oh, my mother, my mother." And so Irma got busy with her and started working on that, and we broke the soul tie between her and her mother and set her free. And then we found out what her mother had told her and what the problem was about with her, between her and her husband. And we broke that, and it wasn't very long until she was pregnant. And then the baby was born with was a little rough. Huh? Hernia. Baby was born with a hernia. And and we began to find out from the fight, Sister Fight, she got involved in about, and we began to find out about Lamaze. And come to find out this girl had had this baby by Lamaze. And so we, and just coming in, we broke the curse of it from off of her and off the baby, and they brought the baby, and we prayed for the baby and dedicated the baby and anointed the baby. And the Lord healed the baby and restored it. And there are several other cases. But that's how we found about Lamar's, was right here. And another thing was a man came here who was an alcoholic. And he came here. He went down to the store and walked in when we had the Bible bookstore downtown. He walked in down there, and they told him we were having meetings out here. And he came. And he had a book. Come to find out, he had a book that his sister had sent him from Jacksonville, Mississippi, where we had just been to the Full Gospel Convention that she had bought from Irma at the Full Gospel Convention and sent to this man by, who was in Van Nuys, California? He just died recently. Who, outpouring of the Holy Spirit amongst the 9 o'clock in the morning. Dennis Bennett. Yeah. And that all happened just about 6 blocks from where we went to church. That's another story. We went to a baptismal service of them, the first baptismal service they had for Dennis Bennett's church. Anyway, he had gotten that book. And after we didn't know at the time, and he didn't either, but we found out after we prayed with him that he had this book that Irma had sold to his sister who had sent it to him, and his whole family had received the Holy Spirit by reading that book. And they were Baptist. Anyway, he came here, and this meeting was over, and we were just visiting with him, and all of a sudden he took on a strange look, and we said, "We better pray for you." So we started praying for him, and when we did, now he had been, and to the best of his ability, he wasn't anymore an alcoholic, but he really still was, because he was a salesman for high priced. The cheapest thing he sold was $25,000. That was the cheapest. He sold some kind of equipment to big manufacturing companies, anyway. And, of course, you know, he'd take the people out to lunch and have a cocktail with them. And he still was kind of having that problem. However, he didn't see anything really wrong with it, but he had been an alcoholic all of his life. So we started to pray with him, and when we did, the spirit of alcohol named itself. And we prayed with him and got it out. Pretty soon another one did. We prayed with him, got it out. And a couple of times we thought we were finished. And we started to praise the Lord. And when we did, why, this something to show up on his face and let you know that there still was something else there. So we'd say, "Who are you?" And it'd name itself and come out. And we got down to what we thought was the end. We got down, I think it was 12 or 13 different alcoholic spirits that had named themselves. We didn't ask them to start with. They just done it voluntarily. And there was either 12 or 13 of them. I didn't know there was that many kinds myself. And we got down, we thought we were finished. And we started all praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, his face kind of got a strange look on it again. And we said, "Well, who are you?" And he said, "I'm just the wee one. I'm the baby. Please don't make me go.
I won't have any place to go. This is my home. I've been here since he was 4 years old. Please don't make me go. And it just cried. And we said, oh, no, you have to go, too. We're not going to leave you here. And we said, who are you? And it said, my name's Moonshine. I've been here since he was 4 years old. Well, we made Moonshine go. And then when we praised the Lord, there was no more distortion or anything. He was free. And we said, what happened when you was 4 years old? He said, well, we lived over at Fort Smith, and my dad and my uncle always would go fishing on the river. And this day, it was sometime in the spring or summer, and they was going fishing, and I just begged and cried to go. He's about 4 years old, he said. He said, so they took me. He said, and they had a jug of water. And they were all taking a drink out of this jug of water. And he said, and I was crying for a drink, and they wouldn't give me any. He said, and finally I cried, and finally they gave me a drink out of the jug. It was moonshine.
Yes.
White lightning. And they gave him a drink. And when they did, moonshine came in when he was 4 years old. So he had been an alcoholic, inherited from his dad and his uncle when he was 4 years old, and had been with him all of his life until, I guess, he was about 35 years old or 40 here when we prayed for him at that time. So that's just an incident here and there. Oh, I think of another one, which is kind of comical, too. Some friends that we had met and learned of the campground here were living in and still live in El Paso, Texas. And we used to go, and still if we drive, well, we always stop and have a meeting at their house in El Paso. And they're in the sprinkler business. That's not the right name for it. Fire extinguisher. Fire prevention. Yeah. And they put it into big complexes and buildings and all of that. And his father has a wonderful business in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So the son went down to El Paso and started it, and he's got a good business down there. And I guess they're good Baptist or Methodist. I don't know which they were, one or the other. And at Christmas time, why, they always throw the Christmas party. Christmas. Isn't that a good name for it? And served alcohol. And mother would get tight, his mother. And just one drink or two would do her in, and she was not the life of the party. She was the disgrace of the party. And so she had either gotten saved or been saved and just couldn't get rid of this problem. So her son told her, he said, I want to take you up to the campground, and I want them to pray for you. You need help. And so they made an arrangement to come to Dallas and get her and bring her up here. And they drove up from El Paso, and they brought her up. And so we started to pray for her. Before we did, why, Irma said to her, she said, now, we want to pray, be sure that you're saved. And so we had a salvation prayer and prayed for her. So now we want to pray for you to get free from it. She said, that's fine. She said, but just do one thing. Just leave one little spirit. And we said, why? Why leave one? She said, well, so I can go to the party and just have one drink and it won't bother me. And Irma said, it's all or nothing. What do you want? All or nothing. And she said, well, all then. But she wanted to have just one left so she could just have one cocktail and not be a fool at the party. So, but I think that changed the parties after that. I don't, yeah. Think. And the children tell us that she's never had any more problems. She's, amen. Okay, well, that's enough of all that. But the Lord's still moving, and he's bringing deliverance. And there's all of us that still have problems that we need help in, and we're believing that these days the Lord's going to help us all to come to a closer understanding and walk with him and a desire to serve the Lord to a degree that we never have before. Amen. Brother Jim, you want to say anything? Add something? From...
I get started, we'll be here all night.
Oh, we won't be here all night.
Well, we got to sing a couple of courses.
Well, I'll say, I want to show you about how the word, how powerful the word is. Now, we're deliverance preachers. We've been in this deliverance ministry for 13, 14 years. 15. Really get away from you faster than you realize. But anyhow, I've been a number of years in it. Yes. And it, this has roots even in this town right here. My son was in the world. My oldest boy got out in the world. He made a lot of money. He got involved in a lot of things that we don't even want to think about or talk about. He lost it all, and he wanted to come back home. They threw him out. He was broke, had nothing left, and he came home. He did, and we loved him, and that's all we did. And it's not about him. He had a friend, though. And at Christmas, during Christmas, this was a long time ago, this friend of his had killed some people, been in jail, served 100 days in the black hole in a closed-up prison camp now over in East Tennessee. It was so horrible that they finally closed it. The black hole is where you put him in a hole in the ground with one little hole in the top of the thing where sunlight can get through, and that's all the light you get. And he'd been there 100 days because he was so unruly in prison. He said a cockroach saved his life and his sanity. That's all he had with him. And he played with that cockroach. He had gotten out. He lived in Memphis. And my son had run across him, found him, and knew him. And he came to me. My son came to me and said, Mike has gotten on dope and had a bad trip. And this thing is reoccurring. He mixes dope, is what he did. He used angel dust, which is a animal tranquilizer, I understand. I don't know. But anyhow, he had had this thing, and it kept coming back on him. And he says he's down there in the house, and he can't do anything but cry. He can't talk. He can't do anything. He said, will you go down there and pray for him? And I said, yeah, I'll go. And this was the day after Christmas, I believe it was the day. Was it Christmas Eve night? Well, it was right at Christmas. And so we went to his house. Here is a 6'2" hunk of a man that is muscle from top to bottom. They tell me he could pick up a Harley-Davidson motorcycle and pitched it in the back of a pickup truck by himself when it broke down. That's how much of a man he was. He was sitting in the bed. His head was bloody all across here because he had sit and banged his head against the door facing, not knowing what to do. Couldn't talk. And I communicated with him enough to ask if he wanted help, and he finally nodded his head. And I tried to minister to him, and he could not understand, couldn't do anything. And I looked at my son, and I said, well, all I know to do is let's bind this thing. And I said, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind you for 90 days to give this man time to come to his senses and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll not harass him for the next 90 days. And he popped his head and looked at me. He said, what happened? Just as plain as could be. He ended up, he came to our church. He brought his wife to our church. He brought her children. I say his wife. They weren't even married at that time. He was living with her, but they weren't married. He brought her children to the church, brought her relatives from as far away as Chattanooga, Tennessee. Got them saved. I don't know how many people, as a result of this man, were saved. And half the drug dealers in Memphis, I think. He brought those out there. He knew every drug dealer on the East Coast. What I wanted to show you was that binding. I said 90 days. At the end of 90 days. I mean to the day. When that binding came off, he liked to kill that woman he was living with. The devil took back over again. He didn't get a bit of deliverance. We tried our best to get him delivered. To get him to want deliverance. He wouldn't want it. And he didn't get any. He liked to kill her. One time later, he manifested in the church. Have chairs like this. At that time, we had chairs like this in our church. And he manifested, and he started backing up away from us. And every time he'd bump a chair, he'd kick it. And he was kicking chairs, and they were hitting the ceiling. Coming behind him. And he took the whole center row of our church out with chairs. We, like you, had some pillars in the church, round posts in the church at that time. It supported the whole framework, the roof and the rafters. There were four of them in the church. We finally wrestled him to the floor, and there were four of us that got him wrapped around that post, in one of those posts, and held him down there. And Mildred got a hold of his head and ministered deliverance to him. And that's all the deliverance he ever got. He ended up, he started the 8th Street Mission in West Memphis. He started Timothy House in Hot Springs. Now, I don't know whether you know of Timothy. Well, that's the man that started Timothy House in Hot Springs. And he's still operating, he's still operating here, and the 8th Street Mission in West Memphis, Arkansas. And just for that little bit of deliverance that he got, my God loves his people. Deliverance is real. And people seem to think, because I know the Lord, that I can't have a demon. You're talking about other people. When we talk demons, everybody seems to want to think, well, that's a disgrace, and you're talking about somebody that I know. No, we're talking to Christians, because demons attack Christians. That's who they attack. They've already got the other people. Attack Christians. And Mildred spoke a few minutes ago about spots and blemishes. We can't go before our Lord with those spots and blemishes. This is what the Lord's called us to do. This is why we're here. We didn't choose this ministry at all. This is not something we chose to do. The Lord called us into this. The Lord put us here with Glenn. If there's such a thing as an accident, I mean, the natural, I guess you'd call it accidents, but he lost his good deliverance workers through illness of Gene and Earlene. Earlene's illness has taken them out. I understand they might be back this time. They might be able to visit this time. Yeah, they're hoping to come. And he was without somebody here, and the Lord just kind of, we were sitting in the back, had been sitting in the back here for many, many, many sessions that we came in. We'd stay down in Hot Springs in a motel and come over here and be fed. We minister in a church. We have to be fed like everybody else. You have to be fed. You cannot operate without the feeding of the Lord. You feed your body three times a day. Most of us do, three times a day, and at least twice a day. But yet our spirit man doesn't get a whole lot of feeding, I'm afraid. We come over here to be fed, and because of the lack of deliverance ministry right at that particular time, we just kind of fell into it. And that's how it happened. And nobody called us other than the Lord. But I mean, Glenn didn't say, well, you come over here and do this. And we didn't seek it out. It was not something we sought. So I think it's ordained of God that we're here. And it's an important ministry in that we've got to clean up the body and stand before our God and receive what God really wants for us. Now, he takes us like we are. I grant you, we don't come to him clean by any means. And we need it. We really need it as Christian people. We have gone far afield from the Word of God. When I quote Scripture, and when your preachers at home quote Scripture, you hear it, but 2 hours later, can you tell exactly what the preacher preached on and what his message was and what he had to say? It seems to come in and go right on through. It doesn't find residence within us. And yet that's important, that he spent time preparing sermons that would reach his people, reach God's people. And we come here. You've come here for a purpose. We're a generation. We are a generation here that is older and above what a lot of them are going to be here later on. We're going to get some younger people here tonight. But as I look out, we're pretty much in the same generation. And we feel like, hey, we have walked our walk with the Lord, and we have come to a place. But God's not through with us yet. You are the backbone of God's work, because you are the ones that are mature, or should be mature in the Word, because we've had time to walk with our God, and he has had this time to minister to us. And if we haven't learned yet, we've still got time yet. Let's get a hold of God's Word. Let's dig in and start doing what God wants us to do. What Glenn was talking about here, we got to talking about this at dinner, that you don't see the manifestations that we used to see. The devil's having a heyday, people. There's not many deliverance places left in this country.
That's right.
It's just not many places left. Let's start praying that the Lord will really move here in this camp and bring us some deliverance workers that will go back home and go to work in their own community, in their church, and set up some deliverance places all over wherever. This whole United States is represented here in this camp. We get people from 30, 40 states, usually. I don't know what we're going to have this time. But we get anywhere from 15 to 30 states represented in a camp. Because a lot of times we'll ask, where are you from? You know, what state did you come from? Where are you from? We can cover this earth if we'll get people that are turned on. Deliverance is not the whole answer. I'm not trying to convince you that this is all of God's answer. But it is a part of the answer. Because if you let the devil live within you within a spirit within you, call it what it is, a demon in you, then you cannot fulfill God's greatest desire for your life if you've allowed him to live within you, because he is constantly working to defeat you. Amen? Let's pray. Can you pray about this? Can you carry it home with you? Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Father, we're serious about this. We see a great need here, Lord, and we see people that are concerned. We see a need here that is something that can be helped. And we desire workers for this field, Lord. We desire overcomers who will stand, Lord, and pray and call in the workers for the field. You know who they are. And you've touched their lives already, Lord. Now touch it afresh and anew and put it right down on them, Lord, for the desire of your heart that they begin a work in deliverance, Lord, and let this camp be a center to send forth those flow here at this camp. The full and powerful deliverance that we've seen in the past, Lord. For we know your arm is not short and your strength is not abated, and that you are a most powerful God, and that the word still works. We just thank you, Father, and we praise you. And we give you glory now. And we do it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.